European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Well, praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 10th, 1999. And today I'm going to bring you a very different message. I never preached like this before. It's a follow-up on a concept that God gave me about a few months ago. And it has to do with that earth is God's university of faith. This whole planet is a campus. It's a university created as a school to produce living saints that in the next generation shall be able to rule and reign with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now, Lord, that you are present with us. I want to thank you, Father God, for the testimony today, how you're leading this congregation, that this congregation is alive. And Father, I just pray right now, let your Holy Spirit open the word to us today, that we might hear, and having heard, we will learn and accept it and do it in our daily lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start by turning to Genesis chapter 3. Now, I want you to think about a gigantic university campus created by God. And the first two students that came down were Adam and Eve. The first two students attending this university. And guess what? They flunked. Big time. Now they were taking their first class, which was Obedience 101. And let's see how they fared. In Genesis chapter 3, we read this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Let me stop here now and talk to you about your classroom. Your classroom will be where you work. There'll be another classroom where you live. There are classrooms on the freeways. There are classrooms in restaurants. Wherever you go on this planet, you are actually moving from one classroom to another class. And each class will be different. As we look in time, they started killing one another with rocks. Then they got more sophisticated with bows and arrows. Then they made swords, daggers. Then they used poison. They were heaping rocks upon one another. And then they were coming, they finally figured out to use catapults where they were heaping big rocks upon one another. Then they invented the gunpowder, and we now got the guns, the cannons, and from there we went to poison gas, and then we went to junk food that they shoot you with. In this universe, there's a variety of settings, and it really doesn't matter, you see, if you are living on a Stone Age level, a bronze level, an iron level, a steel edge level, or computer level, the subjects are the same. And every one of us, as students, we have to take obedience 101. That's our first class. And we cannot get away from that. You cannot simply go into the principal and say, well, I don't like this class. I would like the elected. I would like to have art instead. No. We're going to be in obedience 101. Now, so here was a classroom. In this case, the classroom was a beautiful garden. It was all the fruits there. The tree of knowledge that God said don't eat of it. And here was a serpent that was talking, a slick. Could I liken him out? I'm not really saying that all used car salesmen are bad people. Could I liken him to used car salesmen? That he's simply trying to sell this heap of junk to you for maximum money. And you got snake oil all over it. Now, verse 4. And a serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God has known that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It was partially truth. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took out a fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, this is where she flunked. Obedience. Simply says, God said, do not eat of it. Now, some of you this afternoon or tomorrow are going to go maybe eat in a restaurant. And you're going to be tempted, not by the devil himself, but by a waitress or a waiter. And after you have filled your belly with food, they're going to come up and says, how about some desserts? Well, you know that desserts in restaurants are filled with sugar. They're filled with plastic, liquid plastic. There's all kind of junk in it. And what they're actually saying is, can I serve you a cancer-causing agent? It tastes good. It would satisfy your mouth, but you'd be bitter in your belly. Now, here you are, just like Eve in a garden. It's amazing how they make these baked desserts, you know. Fluffy, nice color, juicy. I'm just going to have one today. But after 10 years, eating a few thousand of those, there's a lump. There's a discomfort, and you discover cancer, or whatever it is, or disease. And then he says, oh God, how can you do this to me, Lord? He said, I had nothing to do with it. You ate it all by yourself. It's amazing how we blame God. We don't correlate things. Now, you're not going to go to hell for eating some desserts. It simply means you might leave earth early and get out of this university. But God said we should be careful with our bodies. Enough said on that. I've ruined your dessert today. Now, look in the outline. As more and more students arrived on campus, most of them could not pass OB 101. At one time, the student body became so unruly that they were all executed. Now, that's serious. Except 8 students. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Let me just say something to you right now here, and this is something the Lord has showed me. You remember, we had the tremendous torrential floods over North Carolina. But that Hurricane Floyd came in. And we wondered, why did God allow so much water to come down there? Well, there's 2 things that the North Carolinians have done for many, many years. They are raising more hogs there than any other place. And they have raised a lot of tobacco. Hogs is not on the menu for that God on the plate that he gave us in Leviticus 11. It's one of the most cancer-causing agents in the world. And you know what tobacco has been doing? Is it possible that God simply said, okay, now, you folks have made a killing on all these stuff you sold. I'm going to show you now that when you sin, you produce something that causes death and destruction in other people. It is going to come back because Galatians tells us that what we sow, we shall reap. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, we read this. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them, that the sons of God said, daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, for that he holds his flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. These were giants, or fallen ones in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. They bear children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented of the Lord, he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created for the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then in chapter 7, verse number 17, we read this. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. It was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed. Increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceeding upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole of heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward, and the waters prevailed, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all whose nostrils was the breath of life, and only was in a dry land, died. Now, look upon my statement here that God just gave me. At one time, the student body became so unruly that they all were executed except 8 students. Look what God has been doing in this country. He's been trying to judge us. Earthquakes, fires, drought, floods, disasters. What are we as a nation doing? Well, they organized FEMA for us. And every time there's a disaster, Guess who writes it in a helicopter and an airplane? You know who? And he says, oh, we will give you federal aid. But we don't need federal aid. We need repentance. We need as a nation to understand that God is going to whack harder and harder and harder until finally this guy in a helicopter is not going to have any more federal aid. God is serious about this school. And he is very stern. He's loving and kind. But he's also saying enough is enough. Now I want you to look upon this because this sermon might take you 2 weeks to understand. God had a hard time graduating students. Very few were able to pass all the classes. Here are a few students which managed to graduate. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, some more. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when we build a university, what do we build it for? So it looks nice. Do we build it because we got nothing else to do? No, you build a university to get a crop of engineers, teachers, doctors, dentists. You want someone to come out of there. You don't build a university just to have them have a good time. You want products coming out of it. God is not necessarily interested in our little fortune buildings. He says, I want to graduate you. I want you to graduate so that when you leave this university, you can take a position in eternity. We haven't understood that. Or maybe some of us haven't understood it. In Hebrews 11, and we read this, let's pick it up from verse number 5, by faith. Enoch was translated, he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, had his testimony that he pleased God. Enoch passed obedience 101. Now, if you look in your outline, there are some more classes you and I got to take. Morality, love, truth, integrity, faith, mercy, and forgiveness. Now, this does not mean that we can go to heaven by these works. We still have to be born again. But God wants us to be more than just born again. Let me try to illustrate that. The Gonzalez family have the latest baby in the church until the Blairs get there. Now, everyone is fussing over little Michael John. He's cute. He's blinking with his eyes. He's laughing and so on. And we think it's wonderful. He's born. He's physically born. But let's say not. Let's move the clock up 20 years in time. 20 years in time. Here's brother Michael now. A little bit gray hair. And he's pushing a big gurney, and on this gurney lays a man 6 feet 4 inches tall, diapers around him here, pacifier in one hand, and you go, oop, oop, oop. And everyone said, who's that? Oh, that's our son. He never developed mentally. He just grew, you know, physically. But he still is a baby. We still got to burp him. We still got to trench him. And he still refused to let go of his bottle. Would you say, oh, that's wonderful. Would you fuss over that man and say, oh, hey, baby, you are cute. No. You would say, Mike and Lancey, your thinking is not right. You're supposed to raise this guy up to walk on his own. Yeah, but he's our baby. This is what happened to you and me spiritually. It's wonderful when somebody gets saved, we fuss over them, but you got to grow up. You got to grow spiritually. You can't stay the same for the next 30 years. God wants to graduate people. As we look in this chapter here, and it's a tremendous chapter. We read, just picking up from verse number 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of her daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As we read this chapter, you find out that a few here and there graduated and was able to leave this earth with a degree. But if you look upon the masses of people, most of them flunked, died in their sins, and went to hell. Look at my next statement there. It was now that God rewrote the charter of his university and sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the new chancellor. Turn back in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews. Now the things that we have spoken this is a sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens, and minister of the sanctuary, and of a true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it is necessary, it is of necessity, that this man has somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, says he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. But now he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finally fall with him, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their father the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regard them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. God said here, there's going to be a new mediator and a new covenant. God wants us to grow. In verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, for the least of the greatest. In other words, you don't have to say, okay, do you know the Lord? We will be able to have a personal relationship with God. Salvation. For I will be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made it first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We got a new chancellor, Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. The devil knows this, that if you stay busy, he can handle that. He knew you got saved. He can handle a lot of things, but there's several things he doesn't want to happen in your life. Number one, he does not want you to have a deep prayer life. Secondly, he does not want you to grow spiritually. We've been doing deliverances for 20 years. And every time we do deliverance, we try to tell the person, we simply say this, look, we're going to do some pre-work, we're going to do the praying, and then we're going to do follow-up. And I hear every student say the same thing. Yeah. Let's go for it. Yeah. I said, nah, it is important you do the work first. I understand. It's important we do the praying. Mm-hmm. It's important you do your homework. Sure. Now, for some reason, and I really want to speak very loud and clear on this. Here's the truth now. When a person goes through deliverance, here's what God is doing. He's taking away all the crusts. He's taking your soul, spirit. He's putting it back on the, you can take the clay stand that you have, the potter stand. He's putting water on it, and he's reshaping it, and it's moist, it's bendable. You can now learn. That's the time when you want to use an opportunity to move in and get the new program from the Lord. But you see now, you have some demons here. They will come up and say, well, you know, we got this to do, and this to do, and this to do. And I learned this, that I'm going to be busy. You're going to be busy. You got to prioritize. If you do not prioritize, you will never, boom, finish your recovery. What will happen is tune-ups. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. My wife finally came to me. She said, John, she says, now, I'm tired of tune-ups. I don't want to do any more tune-ups. We're just going to tell people after four tune-ups, there's not going to be another tune-up. You run with your dirty spark plugs. Or do it yourself. Why is it? It's so difficult. Now, when you come here on Sunday mornings and you arrive to church, you expect me to have a message from God, right? You expect me to have a message from God. How would you feel if you come down Sunday, if the Sunday says, well, you know, I was just too busy this week. Didn't have time to read the Bible, you know, couldn't get to it, you know, but we've had testimony time. Well, you know, after we had 8 Sundays of testimony time, you're going to say, hey, this is getting old. Or I might do like the instructor did in school. I'm going to show you a video today. Well, you know, every time they show a video, it tells you the teacher has not prepared. Unless he show you a clip and then talk about it. Or if I simply says, well, you know, I'm going to have someone else do it, you're going to simply say, Pastor, you're not doing your homework. And I said, but you know how busy I am. You don't care. You want a teaching. So what I had to do? I had to simply say this. I got to set time aside. I got to pray. I got to get in the Word. I don't answer the phone. I do nothing else. I simply say, I don't have the time because I need to be with God. You, as an individual, need to do the same thing on a weekly basis because the weeks are running right by. This is October 10th. We only got about 2 months and 2 weeks left of this year. So many good intentions. But good intentions will not make you graduate. Never settle on that. And by the way, let me say this. I have never yet had a student who's gone through deliverance that have been able to go through their classes on a week-by-week basis. And I had several people says, oh, I'll be that person. I says, well, maybe. I have a candidate right now doing pretty good. We'll see. But I'd like to have you graduate. Now, back to the outline. When is the new charter and power available to your students? More and more students were able to graduate. How can we graduate? Well, let's look in John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Praise God. You know, the day of Pentecost, God added 3,000 souls to the church. That's power, folks. He took in 3,000 new students. In John 1, we read this. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And then we read from verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Look at these verses. He gave us power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is our Chancellor. He's given us power to be born again. Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You're a teacher come from God, for no man can do this miracle that You does except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Praise God for the new birth. Praise God for salvation. Turn to the book of Acts now. The book of Acts. And we pick it up in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we read here from verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says He, you've heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 7, last part. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He's given us power. And then, in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There is power available. All we have to do, and most of you have tapped into this, is to say, Father God, I want to move in the Holy Ghost. To move in the Holy Ghost after you're saved, you got to be in obedience. Obedience is the key. Let's look upon these classes now as we quickly look upon them. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We got an exciting testimony coming out in the Dove this time of Karen Pearson. It's a very good testimony to the power of God. It's exciting to see what God has done in her life. It's an inspiration. Deuteronomy 28:1. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, that means listen, diligently, that means very carefully, unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you, overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, why is it important with obedience? Well, let's talk about a highway patrol guy. Now, if you want to apply to the Highway Patrol Academy, they are very rigorous. You've got to go through a number of different things. They do interviews, they do background study, they do all kinds of different things. And now maybe 100 candidates applying for a Highway Patrol guy, maybe two will make it to the Academy. Out of two, one will graduate. What's the fuss about? Well, you don't want an unstable person with a big gun, a shotgun, everything else, to ride in a car. And if there's an accident, whatever it is, you don't want him to get unstable and something says, oh, I shut up. And if people don't do it, he simply takes his gun and says, okay, boom. That would take care of you. Now, the rest of you line up. You don't want a Highway Patrol guy like that. You want one who is disciplined, obedient, who simply follows the rules so that he is not a disaster. Right? Now, Harry Truman did something that I didn't particularly care for, but he had to do it. And I want to remind you, some of you says, oh man, that's ancient history, you know. Oh, 1950? Is that when they still had stone wagons? Yeah. Anyway, we had a most powerful general in the United States, General MacArthur. He led us to victory in the Pacific in World War II. He took over the Korean War when it was a disaster. He turned it around. He moved the communists up, and he began to liberate that whole peninsula. But then MacArthur did not obey orders. He simply said, "Well, I know better than Truman. I'm going to do it my way." Well, you see, when you got a country, we elect a president. The president is above the military. That's how our Constitution is set up. We cannot afford to have a renegade general, regardless how good he is, that is not following the orders. The Truman had no other chance than to simply send a telegram and said, "You are fired." The same goes with God. You are not going to rule in eternally with him. He wants to graduate men and women born again. They have learned to be disciplined, obedient. They will not be loose cannons that he can trust. He can trust you with a solar system. He can trust you with great things. He knows that you will be absolute obedient to God's will. This is what we're training for. And that's why you are in a classroom and you might be tempted today with a dessert, whatever it is. And if you cannot handle that, then you are simply going back and take your class over and over again. The next class, morality. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now, God wants us to be moral people. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about to grow in faith there. He says this, and God spake all these words, saying, "I'm the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water in the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the firstborn of the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy to the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." You go through this chapter, these are the Ten Commandments. Are they important? Of course, they are important. Otherwise, God would not have written them down. God expects you and me to keep these commandments. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Another class that we must pass is love. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians. I might yell at you a lot here in church, but I love you. At least I hope I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "Do I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love?" It's an old English word, charity, for love. Agape love. "And become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? And do I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love? I am nothing. And do I bestow my goods to feed the poor? And do I give my body to be burned and have not love? It profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love envies not. Love wants not itself. It is not puffed up." Love is something we got to learn. Now that's hard. Because to love, you have to give of yourself. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be willing to be stepped on and hurt. If you want to do a test, it's nice to test yourself. Buy yourself a little tape recorder. You might have it. Don't tell your wife or your husband you got it. And you set it up someplace in the kitchen or someplace at home any given day and record half an hour of your conversation in the home. Then play it back. How you speak to your loved ones. Boom! "Don't ask me that. Go find it for yourself. You think that I'm here to, you know, I'm not your slave. You know how nice we talk to one another? Well, you failed the class of love. You don't talk to strangers like that. You know, we treat strangers nicer than we treat the loved ones. We speak softly. Well, hello there. Yes. You want to know the road, how to go there? Well, I'd be glad to teach you. Love is a hard class to take. Truth. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You can see that these subjects are difficult subjects. John 4, 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mouth nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what you. We know we worship the salvation of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seek such to worship him. God is a spirit, that a worshipper must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then look in 1 John 1. 1 John 1. You might not like this school. Well, you're in it. Can't get out of it. You got no choice. Verse 5. This is a message we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we'll lie unto the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, passing the truth class is difficult. Broken promises is the same as a lie. You might have good intention, but you don't follow up. You see, to walk in truth is that it goes with integrity. It means that your word is solid. And you are simply telling people, I will not promise nothing. I will not say anything unless I can keep it. Truth. And then we have integrity. Look in James. Truth and integrity go hand in hand. In the book of James, just back a little bit there. James chapter 5. And he says this, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire are the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Integrity. You got to be careful. If you've got somebody working for you, you got to be extremely careful that you do not cheat them on their wages. You got to be careful that you do not withhold. This is something that we have in the industry, particularly in the construction industry. Everybody is working on somebody else's money. But as a Christian, you cannot do that. The same thing goes with debt. You and I buy something. And then we says, well, you know, I don't have the money now. I'll pay you next week, and next week is next week, and next week. All of us are taking this class. Don't buy anything. Don't commit yourself to anything unless you know you have the funds to pay the person on time. If you don't do that, you don't have integrity. You're failing this class. You know how it feels. You work with somebody. You loan out something. You sell somebody. And you bank on it. That money is going to come in because you got obligations. And then the person just grins at you and says, well, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. You don't have integrity. Jesus said, sit down, count the cost before you build a tower. Never employ. Never commit yourself unless you know that when payday comes, when the time comes to pay up, you have the funds and you can do it. God will hold you responsible. Faith. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith you understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet he speaks. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, as a minister here, if I ask some of you to do a job, and I hire you, and I say I will pay you so much for it, and in my heart this is what about faith I will be able to do it, I do not have integrity. I will not hire anyone until I know that we have the funds to pay with. It's very important. That's not faith. It's presumption if you do that. Faith is when you enter into communication with God. You don't gamble with other people's finances. You don't use other people's resources. But you believe God that will meet your needs. That's faith. We saw faith operating here today in Joanne, in my wife. Faith. God wants us to come to the place that we have that faith. In the testimony today you heard of Tom, that was a lesson in faith. When God simply showed you that he can, even in a gridlock, turn it around and bring you in where you don't even know where you're going, if you only believe and proclaim it. That's faith. And now let's talk about mercy. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I know I go fast through these things here today, but I want you to study this and might take a few weeks to get the concept of this. In Matthew chapter 18, we pick it up in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I said unto you, unto seven times, but to 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which had owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. This servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The Lord that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, to found one of his fellow servants, owed him 100 pence, just a few dollars. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat to say, pain would you? And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went to him, cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, came and told him the Lord, I was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called and said to him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, that includes me, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. The class of mercy. We have to show mercy. Doesn't mean we condone sin. But it simply means that God has forgiven me. He's forgiven you for so much. And we have to show mercy on one another. And then forgiveness. Matthew 6:14. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me ask you a question this morning. Let's say that you were put in prison someplace, and there'll be a warden at that prison, and you will find out that warden had graduated from God's university. He had passed the class of obedience. He passed the class of morality. He had passed the class of love with flying color, truth, integrity, faith, mercy, forgiveness. How would you feel toward a man like that? You would simply say, I can trust him. A man with those characteristics, I can trust him. He will do me good. He will give me justice. He will help me. Look upon that list. God wants you and I to graduate with all these classes under our belt so that God can send us someplace beginning on this earth and people can simply say, I see Jesus in you. Do you understand what God is saying this morning? This is our goal. Our goal is not to get rich. Our goal is not to just pay our bills. Our goal is to grow and be the man, the woman God wants us to be. That's right. God is allowing students to pass. If they've been born again, but their position in heaven will be limited. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, what I've read this morning, it simply said this, you will simply be saved, but yet so as by fire. And then read this, what I said here. Notice, salvation is by grace and grace alone, but God wants growth of each student. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That of yourself is a gift of God, not our works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created created in Christ Jesus the good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants growth. If you look upon God's order in his educational system, to arrive on campus, that's your physical birth. Kindergarten, that's when you're growing up physically. Grade school, that's where you were born again. High school, to be set free and baptized in the Holy Spirit. College, growing spiritually. Postgraduate work, achieving spiritual maturity. A doctor's degree, being a living stone. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. If you read these verses, verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. With all that contain in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore believe is precious, but unto them that were disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same was made a head of corner. And the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, were to all that they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Living stones. A living stone is a person that is not looking for fame and fortune, but functioning. I'm using an example of something in this church. And I want to talk about two students in this church here today that are here. Tom and Janice Miller. They came to us some 11, 12 years ago. I don't know how many years ago now. They went through deliverance. They went through some counseling. Follow up. And they became living stones. I do not have time to go to death row at San Quentin. I don't have the time to go and minister on a one-to-one basis. But God told this couple to open up a ministry Saturday night. That's what most people say, don't give me Saturday night. That's a night I want to have some nice time on. Well, they went to death row. They've been to jails in other places. And they spent the night with the Word of God, talking about the love of God to people who were condemned to death, prisoners hopelessly bound by drugs and other things. And they were living stones for the love of God was flowing from them into a prisoner. I've had prisoners write to me and tell me how much the ministry meant. That's a living stone. This is where God wants us to be. This means that all of us now got to go to prison and minister. We got different places. But you understand today that this is a curriculum. This is your curriculum on this earth. God wants you to take class after class after class and simply pass and get a good grade. You don't want to have a C minus. You want an A plus. You want to excel. And then, death. That's when we graduate. Turn back to 2 Timothy here. 2 Timothy. We might be a small church, but we have a lot of mighty workers in this church. A lot of people doing things behind the scenes that no one else knows. But God knows them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We pick it up in verse 6. Now, the Muellers, when they were fighting cancer, they still ministered. And this is what Paul said, verse 6. for I'm not ready to be offered. The time I depart is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I feel like giving a commencement speech here today to a class. Encourage you, simply saying, this is what we need to go for. This is what you want to study. This is what you want to practice. So when then your day comes to go, you can say like Paul, hallelujah, I'm ready. My crown is waiting for me. I finished. I'm graduating. I'm going home to be with Jesus. This should be our goal. We got much work for us here on earth yet. In Romans chapter 8, my closing scripture today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. I love these verses. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know that we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, itself makes intercession for us with groanings we cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, to whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? A number of years ago, as my wife and I visited the little apartment of Claudia and Liliana, to once come down and have a meal with them. And we were busy when we said, okay, we will try to do it. And I'm not saying that to lift them up, but I want to share something with you with what happened in this church. I was very humbled. They have a small apartment downtown. And one room, half the room was filled with boxes. And I said, what are these boxes for? Those are food. That's food in the boxes. What are you going to do with the boxes? We are shipping them to people in Russia and the Ukrainians and some other countries where they do not have the money and the food. These people have meager income. They sacrificed. They live on almost nothing. And they went and bought all the food they could get that could be shipped. And they've been doing that for years. When they leave the church here, they go to places afterward. They go and visit people and pray for the sick and so on. These are living stones. You see, this church is made up of many different saints, many different ministries. And I actually could tell a story of each person here today. But it touches my heart, and it humbled me, because I thought that here, just like the widow that gave everything she had, here's the mother and daughter that have chosen not a life of luxury, but a simple life to help somebody else out. This is the type of people God is looking for. People that have these characteristics, because those are the people that God's going to use in these last days. He's going to use us because we have God's characteristics. All things will work out for good to them that love the Lord. If you love the Lord, all things will work out for good for you and for me. It might not be that we live in a palace. We might not drive a brand new car. But I tell you what, the joy of the Lord will be in us. We will be used by God Almighty. And we will be touching people through our daily lives. Do you understand why you are here? What should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He has spared his own Son, but living up for us all. How should he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge? To the charge of God's elect, it is God that justifies. Who is he condemns? It is Christ that died, yet rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We count as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquered through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Spirit tells me to use this illustration today. To those of you that know Liliana and Claudia, you know the love that these two ladies radiate. And I want to tell you this, I think about them many times when I think about myself. Claudia was born blind. She's never really seen. She could see just a little bit, but she was born with eyes that were not right. She was raised in an orphanage in Russia. That's a rough place to be raised. She did not know Jesus. And it was not until in the later years that somebody gave her the gospel and she accepted Christ. She was a single mother. And when she got saved, she got filled with the Holy Ghost and the love and the compassion. She has a compassion for people. There's a love there. And I'm thinking this. Harry Bolliak. We can see, we can hear, we can do all kind of things. Here's a person with a handicap that always has a smile. You call her up, she's always cheerful, she's always praised with you. I think she passed some of these classes. And I think that we should lift them up just like I lifted up Rita today and showed an example. We should look upon some of these saints and say, Father God, I see you working in him, I see you working in her. I want to have a work similar in my life. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. This church has many good saints in it. Learn to know them. Learn to love one another. And I believe that this church could be the greatest church that God's going to raise up. Because you've got people of all kinds of backgrounds and difficulties. But it's one thing we got in common. We love the Lord, or we wouldn't be here. And we have determined to love one another. And we want to take these classes and we want to pass them. I want to sing this song today. I want to put it both on the video and also on the audio cassette. To be like Jesus. Read if you can go to the organ and get me ready for that. I don't have an overhead for it. We just sing it out of memory. And that's going to be a prayer today. To be like Jesus. To be like him. Let's pray right now. And I want to pray we didn't listen to by camera and by audio cassette right now. Let's just stand and pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, oh God, I want to thank you that I'm enrolled in this university. I want to thank you, Father God, that I'm born again, to have that privilege to be born again, to be saved, Lord. And Father God, I pray right now for myself. I pray for this church. I pray for the people watching me by television, video, those that listen by audio cassette. Oh God, help us today to understand what you really want to do with us. You want to mold us and shape us and make us into your image. So when people see us, they would say they must have been with Jesus. Forgive us our sins, Father God. Forgive us our complaints. Wash us in the blood of Jesus right now. And Lord, let the joy of the Lord explode in us. Just explode in us, Father God. And you that are out there watching by video, and you that are listening by audio cassettes, I want you to sing with us right now. This is going to be a prayer we're going to sing right now. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like you. All through life journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like you, to be like you, Lord, to be like you, Lord, all I ask is to be like you. All through life journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like you. Just sing that softly. I'm going to talk into the mic right now. You that are listening to me right now, but just keep singing it. Either by video or by audio cassette. If you are not saved, just cry out right now, Father God, save me. What I heard today touched my heart. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be loving and kind. Forgive me. Cleansed with the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. In Jesus' name. Jesus, come on in right now and save me. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You pray that prayer, God saved you right now. Write us, call us. If you're not here, if you're gone to be with heaven, just talk to God. Find a Bible. If you can't find a Bible, just pray. The Holy Ghost will teach you. May God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. From here to glory, all I ask is to be like you, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like you. All through life journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like you. We're going to continue the invitation here in the church. And if you want to be anointed with oil and pray for today, Brother Satiris will be here. I and my wife will be here.